Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me go in and introduce the sheriff. We have Sheriff Mark Kreider on the show, retired FBI whistleblower, no less. He's with Walla Walla County in Washington State. So thanks so much for being on the show, Sheriff. And I know you were a last minute addition, but I'm really glad that you helped me out. So it's just not me today. So thank you. I appreciate it. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, and they're our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we got on satellite radio on May the 5th, and it's been a great ride ever since. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and we're reaching 1.5 million followers right now, thanks to them. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check out the gear, like the shirt that I'm wearing. We got some pretty cool gear there. And also FishOrlandoBass.com. Hey, they're in Orlando, and you do have options if you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney. So my advice is let them have a great time at Disney. Instead of having to drag, you know, you around, just give them the credit card and then go hook up with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com. It's a bass fishing charter, and you have options, like I said, and they also do alligator hunting where you catch and relocate alligators. What an experience. Could you imagine taking a vacation to Florida and coming back? Even you, Sheriff, in Washington State, of course, you probably wrestle alligators before, or maybe you do the harder one. Maybe you do the harder ones, the saltwater crocodile. But anyhow, what a great story people would have for being able to catch and release an alligator, you know. And if it ends up being a baby alligator, you know, like 4 to 6 inches long, I'm sure Zach has got, you know, photo technology where he can actually shoot it at an angle to make it look larger than what it really is. So anyhow, FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. We also have Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? The sheriff and I have some good topics lined up. The first one is migrant crime and the Dallas beheading. Now, this is in the WashingtonExaminer.com, so don't think that the liberal media is not picking up on the problem and that maybe Trump is the answer. And then we got Hennepin County. They will no longer prosecute cases that come from non-public safety traffic stops. Mary Moriarty, that name will ring a bell, and wait till you hear what they're doing. We got a 22-year-old shot and killed by Mercer deputy after charging at him with a knife. And then we got Humboldt County deputies fatally shooting a knife-wielding man. And we got Kentucky Supreme Court overturns Lexington's no-knock ordinance. But will it affect Louisville? Louisville says that they're not, these guys, no one's changing their policies, even though it violates what the Supreme Court is doing. So then we have COPPA. Of course, when you hear the name COPPA, that means we're talking about Chicago. They released surveillance footage of an ambush attack on an off-duty Chicago officer. That should be a wake-up call, guys. You got to keep your head on a swivel. Drone footage shows the fatal shooting of a 72-year-old who pointed a gun at officers, and there is police drone footage involved. And then we've got some other stuff, if we have time to get to it, ones from California, and then we got some other ones. So please stay tuned for that. So, Sheriff, if you're ready to talk about the migrant crime issue, let's go in and get that out of the way. You know, our main stories, and this is what we're starting off with, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. So WashingtonExaminer.com, migrant crime in the Dallas beheading. If you guys have not heard about this, it's not that old. It happened fairly recently. The migrant crime in the Dallas beheading, it said add this to the terrible list of crimes committed by illegal immigrants in the United States. So in a Dallas hotel, Yordanis Cobus Martinez, and this happened, this happened roughly about 2 weeks ago, I believe, in a Dallas hotel. This Yordanis Cobus Martinez, a Cuban in the U.S. illegally, cleaning a room when he gets into an argument with a hotel manager, Chandra. And so Cobus Martinez is apparently angry that the manager did not speak to him directly, instead used a female coworker for translation. And this is all according to the police affidavit. So Cobus Martinez, our illegal Cuban immigrant, leaves for a moment, comes back with a machete. Then he starts hacking at the manager, who tries unsuccessfully to fend him off. And it says that the manager's wife and son were there. They also tried unsuccessfully to stop this bad guy. And like every other horrible act in America today, according to our article, the whole thing was captured on surveillance video. So the bad guy kept swinging the machete. Our victim ended up in a defensive crouch. He went on and finally chopped off the victim's head. The suspect then kicks the head twice into the parking lot, the affidavit said. The video shows the head bouncing along the pavement like a soccer ball with blood, you know, coming out of it. And finally, our bad guy picks the head up and throws it inside of a dumpster. And then people called 911, and the authorities find him covered with the manager's blood. He's still holding a machete. He's just a few blocks away from the scene. At this point, they arrest him, to charge him with capital murder. And then the authorities discover that he's in the U.S. illegally, and then they learn his criminal history, which should give everybody pause again. Cobus Martinez appears to have been in the country for several years, and his record is the following account by Dallas television station NBC DFW. So listen to this. On February of 2017, so not that long ago, this guy steals a Mercedes in Miami-Dade County, Florida, where we're at. The car breaks down on I-95. He's arrested, charged with felony grand theft auto. 4 months later, in June of 2017, South Lake Tahoe, California, police report details of a carjacking in which he's naked, tries to force himself into a woman's car while pulling her hair and her clothes and sitting in her lap. And then he tells police that he had about 20 beers, smoked a joint of marijuana before the carjacking. His criminal activity then continues to Texas, where in 2018, the next year, he's arrested on indecency with a child through sexual conduct charge in Harris County after allegedly grabbing a 14-year-old girl, bringing her behind bushes and assaulting her. The charge was later dismissed for insufficient evidence. He spent 1 year behind bars for an assault charge related to the case. And as late as last year, Cobus Martinez, our bad guy, was walking around free. And then according to NBC DFW, he was arrested by Dallas Area Rapid Transit on a charge related to a California case. He ended up in the custody of ICE, and they sought to return him to Cuba. Cuba didn't want him because of extensive criminal history. So on January the 13th of this year, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they let him go. And remember, this is just kind of crazy. This was during the Biden administration's final days in office. 8 months later, he's reportedly kicking our manager's head like a soccer ball. So now this guy's back in custody. And this time with President Donald Trump's ICE, he's going to face the criminal charges. And whatever happens, he's, you know, whether he ever gets deported or not, he's never going to spend another free day in the United States. So that's where the story is. Now, they've got the political fight. Many Democrats are upset. You know, they don't want to talk about migrant crime, or they want to deny it, or they want to say it's not an issue or not an issue enough to tighten things up at the border. Thank God we don't have to worry about that. It's being done for us right now. But Sheriff Kreider, your thoughts on this?
Well, first I'll say that this is not isolated to migrant crime. It's pretty much all crime throughout the country, that we are just not incarcerating people that have demonstrated the inability to live in a civilized society. The criminal justice system doesn't work if, I liken it to a milk stool, a three-legged milk stool. you have the cops that make the arrests, the prosecuting attorneys that prosecute those crimes, and then the judges that mete out sentences for those crimes. If one of those legs is not working, your stool tips over. And currently, what I see are the fact that crimes are going either not charged or undercharged, and judges are not sentencing individuals that commit these crimes to jail. And so we are dealing with the same people over and over and over again, whether they're illegal aliens or they're American citizens, you know, committing the crimes. It's tragic, because Americans should not be subjected to these individuals running around over and over and over again.
Yeah, I totally agree. So this is just a little peek. You know, a lot of citizens and civilians, they don't hear this stuff. And then, of course, it's not so much that we're talking about one guy. We're just giving an example on all the crimes he's done, one with a minor, and he's been able to get away with it, and then he's been released. And when Cuba didn't want him back, he didn't go back, right? Look what we're doing now. The countries that don't want to take back their people from the mental institution and the criminals and stuff, we're forcing them to take them back.
Here in Washington State, we have what's called the Keep Washington Working Act that was passed by the legislature in 2019, which forbids law enforcement from communicating or cooperating with immigration officials. So if we arrest you know, said illegal, somebody that is in the country illegally, if we arrest them on another criminal act, not related with them entering the country illegally, but they commit another criminal act that gets them arrested, we are not allowed to detain them in our jail for immigration officials or communicate that we have them in our jail to immigration officials, which just contributes to, you know, more crime out in the world, and it makes it dangerous both for the criminal and for the law enforcement officers.
Well, on that note, time for our first commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does it better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting literally dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking to purchase gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, they're always having specials and gear. I mean, I know that I just bought a pair of Danner boots and I got them on sale, and they've been having a 20% off site-wide sale. And it's just been pretty incredible. And they have gift cards. And hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. And we're giving away two every week on this show. We're giving away one today, actually. I'll be announcing that in just a second. So Gauls at Gauls.com. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And yes, they are our satellite sponsor. And you know what? In today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MindShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. And we've been talking about migrant crime in an article that came out in a fairly liberal publication. So any more comments on that, Sheriff? Are you ready to move on to the next topic? Okay, we're holding one. Fox9.com. Hennepin County will no longer prosecute cases that come from non-public safety traffic stops. They're talking about pretext stops. But you guys, if you've been watching the show for any amount of time, you know how important pretext stops are. So Minneapolis at Fox 9, Hennepin County prosecutors will not charge criminal cases that come from non-public safety traffic stops, such as expired tags or broken taillights, starting October the 15th. The policy change, was announced by Hennepin County attorney, Mary Moriarty, and she said there's exceptions when there is a compelling public safety interest, but I don't like what I'm reading, and I'm really glad I'm not a law enforcement officer there. And they say they're going to evaluate those on a case-by-case basis. Now, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty said that the purpose is to reduce the time that they're wasting by law enforcement on what are so often referred to as pretext stops, in which she says they rarely recover contraband. And I didn't know that the goal with a pretext stop, Sheriff, was to recover contraband. I thought it was to get the criminal element. I mean, that's how we get our best criminals. I mean, they speed, they do traffic infractions. What a great tool. And now you're safe. You're a lot safer if you're a criminal in Hennepin County. And she says that, quote, "It is an enormous waste of resources and comes at a devastating cost to our community," unquote. But here's the crux of it. There's another quote, and I put it in bold letters, and here we go. Here's what it really is. So Mary Moriarty said that, quote, "We must acknowledge the significant racialized harm that these stops inflict on our Black and Brown community members, sometimes to the point of death," unquote. Now, that's what she actually wrote. And, of course, being a woman of color, These carry a little bit more weight, I guess, when she says it. But the ignorance in the statement will, you know, inflicting on our Black and brown community. So she's saying that, I mean, let's face it, if you pull over speeders, if there's crime, there's always going to be a percentage swing. Someone's going to be in the lead, right? Whether you're white, you're Black, you're Hispanic or whatever. And she's saying what it sounds like she's implying is that, that the people that are doing these have these tags or that are being pulled over for these infractions are Blacks and Hispanics is what it sounds like. And that it happens to the point of death. And of course, you and I know that if they are compliant and they're not pulling out weapons or going for the cops' weapons, it's not going to result in death. So she's really taking up for the criminal element. It sounds like I could read more, but it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, this is the little flag in the story where it kind of lets you know what her motivation is for saying these things. Sheriff Kreider.
Yeah, this was proposed by the legislature in the state of Washington. It was roundly opposed by all law enforcement. Let me just remind some of your viewers, some of the people that have been caught by, and I don't like the term pretext. It's a motor vehicle infraction, expired tags, broken taillight, all that stuff. Those are all valid reasons to pull over a vehicle. Timothy McVeigh was caught on a traffic stop for a minor traffic infraction. Now I can't think of his name. He's incarcerated in Florida.
Of course, because he's a Floridian.
Yeah, Ted Bundy was stopped on a traffic violation, a minor traffic infraction. So I could go on and on with the amount of people that are stopped on these types of traffic stops. That's what my deputies do. And I can tell you from riding with my deputies, 9 times out of 10, if it's a benign situation, they assess it. They quickly write a fix-it ticket or they just give a verbal warning and they send them on their way. And there's zero impact to the driver other than maybe a 10 or 15 minute delay in wherever they're going. So these are vital in law enforcement. I can't tell you the amount of drugs, the amount of recovered trafficked women and minors that we get on these types of stops. So it's a vital law enforcement tool, and it is not aimed, you know, here in Washington State, half the time you can't see through the tint to tell whether you're pulling over a male, a female, a Black, a white, Hispanic, you just can't tell that. So it's really disingenuous to put out statements like that. And it's concerning to me that people in that position are putting out those kind of statements.
Yeah, well, thank you, Claire. And you know, that's such a great part of the story now that you've reminded our users who actually has gotten caught. I mean, if that doesn't ring your bell, I don't know what will. But, common sense is what we need with people that are even county attorneys like her. And just to get it this wrong and to do such a disservice to the people that live in that community and to embolden the criminals that are driving through that community or live there, it's just a sad day. And I tell you, if I was law enforcement there, guys, it's time to start reading the room. And, if you're looking at spending the next 20 years or 30 years in a law enforcement career, you may want to start second guessing unless they're going to be voting somebody else in the office that's got their head on straight. You may need to look at the writing on the wall. You may need to go to the wine country in Walla Walla County, Washington State.
Yeah. Well, and I've had constituents tell me, well, I'm never buying new tabs again. Why should I register my vehicle? If you can't pull me over for expired tabs, what's
good
the point?
Yeah.
Makes no
good
sense.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It makes complete sense. So, guys, moving along, Sheriff, are you ready to go to a story with a video component? We got some new ones that just came out. Thanks to This Is Butter's channel. So, let's go ahead and do that. This is a good story. I'm not going to have time to get through all of it because we're getting close to a commercial break. But at Rumble.com, and again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we have a 22-year-old that shot and killed by a Mercer deputy after charging at the deputy with a knife. And so let me just go in and whet the appetite a little bit here. This Mercer County deputy, now Mercer County's in Ohio, and the sheriff's office was called to help back up a Selena police officer at a Dockside Marathon. So I'm assuming that's a Marathon gas station. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, according to the sheriff's office. Now, this story's about to get pretty hairy. I will describe in great detail what goes on, so stick with us, guys. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to introduce Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of the sheriff's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence. And now they're being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that you can start getting your hands on those primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less. We can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. We got RJ Oakley weighing in. 223 is weak, man. I don't know if he's pushing 5.56 or maybe 7.62 or maybe I don't know, but 223, he's not a fan of 223. Hey, you know, we left off talking about a story that has a video component, so I'm going to get back to that. And let me just refresh the memory here. At rumble.com and our favorite law enforcement video channel, This Is Butter, 22-year-old shot and killed by a Mercer deputy after charging at this guy with a knife.
I'm going over here.
Get on the ground.
Grab the knife.
Down there, I'm gonna tase you. Down there, I'm gonna tase you.
Spencer, I'm coming around.
Don't pick it up.
Drop the knife.
Drop it.
Man. Drop it now.
Shit. Okay, I got the knife.
Central, shots fired.
Turn around.
So the Mercer County Sheriff's Office, they called, they were called to help or the backup a Selena police officer at a Dockside Marathon. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and officers originally called there for a guy with a knife. When the deputies get there, they find a 22-year-old. He's our bad guy. He's named Moses Alik. And so Alik, our bad guy, brandishes a knife. And a Selena police officer has a taser, deploys it, but it doesn't stop the bad guy. And I believe this bad guy, if I remember correctly, he had this thick, like, winter coat on. I mean, it was just like a thick coat. And so body camera shows this guy raised the knife. It doesn't really say, and I put in my notes, I remember the guy when the body cam starts off, knife is on the ground. It's like a parking lot. Remember, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no cars there. It's just these guys, and it's dark out, and you've got, you know, two or three deputy, or I guess you got the Selena police officer and the responding deputy's backup, and you got the dude with the freaking knife on the ground, and the officer's telling the dude, you know, or the one of the two is, don't pick it up. What's the guy do? He picks it up. I think he does a taser deployment. They say it didn't take. The guy ended up dropping the knife again, picks it up. Now he's charging at the deputy. And so he races the knife over his head, and he's charging at the deputy after picking the knife back up a second time. And Deputy Spencer Henney, he ends up shooting Alec multiple times. Dude goes to the hospital. He's pronounced dead. So we don't have to worry about this bad guy anymore. Commentary on the shoot, Sheriff Kreider. And you're muted still, Sheriff. So
you described it pretty well. I don't know if there was some mental health issues involved in this. And as my parents told me, nothing good happens after midnight. There's no reason for you to be out after midnight. So, you know, once again, that holds true. We can talk about some of the tactics and lining up and crossfire issues that we saw during there, but they did everything that they needed to do, time, cover, distance, as best they could. And unfortunately, sometimes our less lethal options, I don't know what less lethal options they had. Sometimes those are ineffective, and unfortunately, we have to resort to, stronger measures. So lethal force is warranted in this case. The man's charging at you with a knife. You have no other option other than lethal force.
Thank you. And you know, they were in fairly close proximity to this bad guy either. So, you know, even if you have like the foam launcher and stuff and you've got to, break it open between every launch and, your hands are tied up, I wouldn't want to have been that close with just any less lethal, just because the guy could close the distance pretty quick. If that deputy didn't have lethal out at the time, he would have been having to rely on someone else to take the bad guy down, because he could cover the distance, even picking up the knife off the ground. But whenever I listen to a use of force, I've said it many times, I always, when people describe what happened, my first question, I want to slow it down. My first question is always, which I think is yours, was the bad guy compliant, which would have solved, 99.9% of the situation. So, and it's almost always absolutely not compliant. In fact, almost defiant. So, no sympathy for this bad guy. So, any more commentary? Are you ready to move on to the next one?
I think one important thing on this video that is clearly demonstrated in this video, there are people out there that think that cops, when they shoot somebody, it's a celebratory thing, that they're, we're just out looking to gun somebody down. And I think this video clearly shows the toll that takes on the officer that is forced to use lethal force. It is not without its consequences when you have to take another human life. And quite frankly, he was well within legality, well within policy for that agency, but it is still a traumatic event for the person that has to do it. And I think a lot of times that goes unaddressed and underappreciated for those watching cops do their job.
I think you're absolutely right. And, I was fortunate. I never had to take a life in my career. And there were instances where I could have, and I could have been justified doing it. And I was fortunate enough not to have to do that. I've even been on an undercover drug deal and had a guy, had a CI sit next to me, and I had my gun right there. And the bad guys at nighttime, guy never saw it. And I had, surveillance vehicles watching me. But he grabs the, I believe it was a $20 bill, and he grabs it and takes off, but I was holding on to it and it tore in half. And as he's running away, he realizes he only has half, and he comes back. He wants the other half. And he didn't give me the drugs. It was trying to rip me off. And then he pulls his hand up and he has a shirt wrapped around his hand, and he tells me he's got a gun. He says, "Give me the freaking money." Now, I had a Sig Sauer 9mm pointed right at him, and I had, it would have blown out my CI's eardrum. But I had to make a decision on whether I thought he really had a gun, wrapped up in the shirt or not. And my gut told me he did not. And I didn't shoot him. So I guess in hindsight, if you're not in fear of great bodily injury or death, and I didn't really know for sure, but I didn't pull, and the troops moved in. I gave a signal and they grabbed the bad guy. But yeah, there's cops don't want to take a life, and it's traumatic. And we see the loss of life. I mean, in some cases, almost every day. I mean, there's so many people. I have forgotten how many people I have seen die, held while they're dying, consoled loved ones. My mind blocks that stuff out. But you get such an appreciation for life by watching the loss of life. You really get it. So thanks for those words, Sheriff. Anything else, sir? All right. So guys, we'll move on to our next story, which also has a video component. So on this one, still at rumble.com, this is Butters the Channel, Humboldt County deputies, and this is in California, they fatally shoot a knife-wielding man.
Huh? Put that down right now. Put it down.
Put it down now.
Fuck. Fuck. Stop. Stop right now. Get on the ground. Get on the ground now. 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 7-1, shots fired, shots fired.
And so let's see. Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, they've released a body cam footage of a deputy-involved shooting that resulted in the death of a 29-year-old bad guy, Nicholas David Anderson, and it's near the Bear River Family Entertainment Center, and it happened back in June. So the incident starts when deputies respond to the report of a guy. Now, he's got a bandaged, bloody arm. I'm sorry, I'm chuckling, but some of the stuff absolutely makes no sense because I'm watching the video, and I'm unaware of half the stuff that's actually written in the article next to the video. So not everything is like, is you're not going to be aware of everything just by watching the video. But apparently this guy's got a bloody arm. It's bandaged. He's walking through the entertainment center and he's leaving a trail of blood everywhere, right? So deputies find this guy identified as Anderson. He's uncooperative, but he needs medical attention. And then it says the HCSO, which is the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, they managed to escort Anderson out of the center. And they say the situation escalates. But what they don't say is when you really watch the video, it's clear they're giving this guy a trespass warning. They're getting him off the property, but it says he needs medical attention. So some of this doesn't make sense. While maybe he doesn't want medical attention, but they still didn't call anyone there. But anyhow, they tell him to get out of there. He drives away in his car, but then he gets to a certain point where he stops and the deputies see him stopping and they go, they confront him again. And this is kind of where it gets hairy. Situation escalates at this point. Anderson, or bad guy, he charges at a deputy with a knife in a threatening manner. And in response, a deputy discharges their service weapon and they hit the bad guy in the chest. He's taken to the hospital like the last guy, and he succumbed to his injuries as well. And going to my show notes here, he agreed to leave the property, but then he doesn't really leave at all, produces the knife, starts advancing on the deputies, plural, who ended up leaving their patrol car. So they've got two patrol cars parked side by side, facing opposite directions, but the doors open up. And so the bad guy could have walked between the cars and entered either one of the cruisers. It looked like both of them had their windows open and were accessible to the bad guy. So that was my fear. He's going to hop in a car. He's going to have an AR-15 or a shotgun or maybe both, and he's going to take off. But he didn't do that. And it says three shots were fired at 5:14 in the video. And we have a body cam video of it, too. Both deputies ended up shooting, I believe, a suspect ended up dying. But commentary on this, Sheriff Kreider. And you're muted again, Sheriff. So your mute button does not like you.
I think you keep muting me because you don't want to hear me talk. But I think the video speaks for itself. It's just another unfortunate, go along to get along, and there'll be no incidents. They would have gotten him to the hospital. He would have received medical attention, maybe had a psych eval at the same time and walked away from this whole incident. But he chose not to do that.
Agreed. I'm just glad he didn't steal a car. It's bad enough that he died, guys, open up those cars and leave in your cover. Oh, I got issues with that. All right, go on the commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, and we're coming back, and hey, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And let's see where we left off. We had our second video story with a video component. More words, Sheriff Mark Kreider. You're good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. So, guys, I think it's time, Sheriff, to hunt for the winner. I'm going to scan our LinkedIn feed, and I'm scanning Rumble, and also... we've also got an entry here on StreamYard as well. In StreamYard, we can see all the comments that are on all the six Facebook pages that we're streaming to, also to our YouTube channel as well. And it looks like our winner is going to be, his name is Dave, I'm pretty sure, but it's Rumble Dave's Custom. And I have an email address, and he's going to be the winner of our Gauls, $50 Gauls gift card giveaway. I have the email address and everything. So thank you so much, Dave, for entering the contest and for winning. So it was between you and MVS and Sergeant George in the tail end of this thing, and you pulled it out. So anyhow, congratulations on the win, and I will get that to you at the end of the show. So thanks for entering the contest. Well, let's see. We have some more stuff. We got a little over 8 minutes to talk. So, Sheriff, your pick. We can talk about the Kentucky Supreme Court overturning the no-knock ordinance. And we've also got another one. We got ICE arrests, nearly 550 in Chicago area. This is when the governor and the mayor absolutely did not want that to happen. We got California legislature passing a bill prohibiting law enforcement from wearing masks to shield identities. And they're targeting the feds when they did that. James Comey's daughter sues the Justice Department to get her job back. So, any preference on those, Sheriff?
I'm gonna throw that back to you and let you pick what you want to talk about.
you're gonna defer. All right,
so I've got it.
I've got it narrowed down. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we talked about. Let me grab two of these and I'll just incorporate them into each other. So we were talking about migrant crime, and there's no doubt that there's a illegal, you know, it's not just, look, legal migrants, like my wife's family came over here illegally from Colombia, God bless them. And you know, it's almost like, you know, no one hates a bad cop worse than good cops. You know, no one hates these illegals more than the legal immigrants that came over here and did it the right way and stood in line and they did everything right. They came over, they learned English, they took the classes, became citizens, and this just rubs them raw. So in this AP News article, and it is a liberal publication, but ICE arrests nearly 550 in Chicago area as part of Midway Blitz. So that was the name that they were using. Remember, the governor and the mayor in Chicago did not want this to happen. And the results, and I mean, this, as of this article, it was 550. I assure you it's well over that now. Immigration enforcement officials have arrested almost 550 people as part of an ICE operation in the Chicago area. It was launched by the Department of Homeland Security, and the updated figure came hours after senior immigration officials revealed in an interview to the Associated Press that more than 400 people had been arrested in the operation so far. So it was 400, then about 550, and it was still increasing. The figures offer an early gauge of what is shaping up to be as a major enforcement effort that comes after doing similar operations where in Los Angeles, remember when the National Guard had to get involved, and also in Washington, D.C. Of course, the Washington, D.C. People, the mayor and the chief ended up backing up Trump and saying, you know what? Good idea. I'm glad you did it. Now you got our support. The figures released by Homeland Security include arrests by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as well as by other federal agencies that were assisting the operation. And it launched in the Chicago area. They dubbed it Midway Blitz. It started September the 8th. And it drew concern from activists and immigrant communities who say that there's been a noticeable uptick in immigration enforcement agents. It deepened dread in communities already fearful of the large-scale arrest by or aggressive tactics used in other cities targeted by President Donald. Yeah, I got to stop reading there. This is an AP Newswire story, and they're talking about the illegals or in fear of being arrested and targeted by ICE. And you know what? They freaking should be, because they're here illegally. They're taking jobs away from Americans. And, you know, they're, you know, by coming over here, they're already lawbreakers as well. They're already criminals. So it's kind of ironic that, you know, the AP Newswire, you know, is taking their side. And not to be outdone, Sheriff, but if you don't mind, I want to like do a tag on FoxNews.com. California legislature passes a bill prohibiting law enforcement from wearing face masks to shield identities. And of course, they're targeting the feds too when they're doing federal operations. So whether it's in, LA or whether it's in Oakland or San Francisco, California passed this measure that would ban most law enforcement officers from covering their faces while on the job in response to recent immigration raids in the LA area where some federal agents wore a mask and hid their identities. And of course, we know because their lives are being threatened. The bill approved on Thursday now heads to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. And if he signs it into law, it's unclear whether the state could enforce the ban on federal agents who have been carrying out raids and arrests on local businesses under President Donald Trump's mass deportation plan. So there you have it. We got about 4 minutes. Cher Kreider.
Well, I find it somewhat ironic that the state that mandated you wear a mask at all times, whether in your house or on the streets, now has passed a law targeting only law enforcement. I'm good with it with a couple caveats. Number one, protesters are not allowed to wear masks or, you know, face shields and gas masks and helmets and all that kind of stuff. If they're peacefully protesting, they have no need for any of that stuff. I do have mixed feelings on this. I don't think that law enforcement should be wearing masks, but I also am well aware of the doxing and the targeting that has gone on with law enforcement across the country. And, you know, you're putting, I'm fine with putting my life at risk while I'm at work, but putting my family's life at risk when I'm at home is an entirely different matter. And so I kind of feel for those guys because they have been targeted by some groups that are going after them. And in fact, in the stuff that you sent me to go over, we have a Chicago cop that is ambushed as he's pulling into his home garage. So we shouldn't be releasing home addresses of cops and stuff, but as a public official, and especially as a politician, as a sheriff, my home address is widely known throughout the community. And I have people that occasionally stop by my house. Most of them have good intent. And, you know, some of them may be upset, but they don't have ill intent towards me. They just want a conversation. So it's a tough thing to wrap your head around, and I'm not sure which way it should go.
I agree by saying that I don't think we should have to hide our identities. And unfortunately, I think that in a lot of the instances we have to, and sometimes you just don't know until it's too late. You brought that COPA story. Let me just cover that just real quick. Because it's related. Rumble.com, this is Butter, it's the channel. COPA released surveillance video of an officer ambush attack on an off-duty Chicago officer. So sure enough, just like the sheriff said, this video was released, Southside shooting that hurt an off-duty Chicago officer, happened last month. Now, it happened August the 3rd, just before 6:15 in the morning. Now, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, COPA, they said the officer's pulling into his garage when three guys get out. Of a separate vehicle. The officer has to go in an alley and he backs into this open garage. And as he's backing in, you see this white car coming down the alley from a distance. They've been watching him. And sure enough, they open up the door, they start shooting, and there's a shootout. The officer ends up returning fire. They drive down the alley, stop. The three dudes get out. The gunfire continues. Amazingly, no one gets hurt. The cop gets some broken glass and he gets injured that way. Guys take off in a white colored sedan. It doesn't say that they were ever caught. Amazing commentary, Sheriff.
Yeah, my spidey sense is tingling back there as to whether or not this is, that cop is targeted just because he's a cop, or he's targeted because of maybe some activity that he has done, whether it be legal or illegal. So I think a good solid, you know, investigation goes on, but you got cops living in neighborhoods and a lot of people know what they're doing. And, I laugh because as a Fed, working with, some Irish National Police that had to deal with the IRA, and the IRA specifically targeted cops, he laughed. He goes, you know, if we did background investigations on all our Irish cops every 5 years and went around the neighborhood, because that's part of our background, and told all your neighbors that you were a Irish cop, we'd have a lot more dead Irish cops because the IRA would have known all of them, you know? So, kind of operational security is tantamount this day and age. And so a deep dive into what's going on and why this cop was targeted, I think, is warranted.
All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff. It's been great having you on the show. I know we're winding it down. I usually take the opportunity to say, we'll talk about Randy Sutton's 501c3, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. There's summits going on right now. Go to thewoundedblue.org to get more information. Also, a shout out to our sponsors again. Title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianttechnologiesCom, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Guns, 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 Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Guys, we'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.